On behalf of Rebuilding Your Life Radio and the Train Your Brain, Claim Your Power calls, welcome. I'm your host, Susan Sciarrico. James Windisch joins us today to talk about his books, Gobby the Friendly Gobbin Saves the Day, and Teeny Weeny, the Baby Seagull Who Could Not Fly because he had a fear of flying or falling. Now, James spent about 40 years in corporate America, in sales and marketing and finance, but life sent him in an entirely new direction that I don't think he necessarily thought he wanted to do. But let's find out what happened. Please wave your hand to welcome James Windisch. Hello, James. Welcome.
Hi, Susan. Thank you for having me on your show. I appreciate it.
It's my pleasure to do so. James, I rarely ask this question, but I'm going to this time. What did you want to be when you grew up?
A writer.
And what kind of writing did you want to do?
Well, actually, no, I'm wrong. When I was a little kid, I wanted to be an actor.
Okay.
And then when I got older, into my teenage years, is when I got into writing. And at one point in life, I wanted to be an investigative reporter. But my family is so big on, corporate America, sales, finance. You can't do that. You'll make no money doing writing. And, you know, it's just one of those things. So I followed the family and did well in that. But then in 2019, God decided to give me a heart attack.
Ooh.
Yes, and it was funny because the doctor said, you're on permanent disability. I said, how long is that, 3 months? He goes, no, permanent. So I was like, oh.
Wow.
So I felt broken. But then, you know, I was talking to my kids, and, you know, they're all adults now, but we were all talking about all the stories that I used to, hours. And, I mean, they didn't get a 15-minute bedtime story. They got an hour bedtime story and presentation. So, right. So my daughter is like, you know, well, Dad, why don't you do something now that you can't do anything? And I was like, you know what? That's a great idea. And I put some, I've been writing a novel for 20 years. Okay. So it's weird because my novel's, you know, Dungeons and Dragons type fantasy with goblins and creatures, all that. So I don't know why I chose a goblin for the first time out, but my concept was always going to be the same. It's not what you look like on the outside. It's what's on the inside that counts and doing the right things. So that's kind of where Gobby came from.
Well, I mean, did you always think you wanted to write children's books or the novel?
No.
Was no. Okay. The novel was something totally different. Okay.
The novels, I'm still working on it, but you know what? Every time I work on the novel and I see something outside, I have a concept book, and I'll see something, I'm like, oh, wow, that'd be really nice. And I would turn around and write a title and try to figure out an ending, and then it goes in my concept book, and later I'll try to put the middle together. You know,
That's a neat way to work. I mean, somehow you can back into it.
Right. And the other thing is, I write very differently with the kids' books, not with the novel. But with the kids' books, I literally come up with the title, come up with the ending, and then sit there and just over and over and say the story to myself in my head. Once I got it where I'm happy with it, then I'll put it on paper and make whatever changes I might want to make. Example, the third book I'm working on, Chow Chow the Pup Scout Goes to Camp. Originally, I had different animals, but then I thought, oh no, if it's a pup scout, they all have to be dogs. So I went back So I went back and redid all that. Teeny Weeny, the Baby Seagull That Could Not Fly. That was a joy. That one came very quickly to me. Because I was watching, I live on the beach, Daytona Beach, and I live across the street. So I was out on the beach, and I'm watching the seagulls, and I'm watching this little baby seagull. Wasn't quite flying, but kind of hopping around. But Mama didn't leave her. And at the end, of course, she flew. And then I was like, well, that'd be a nice little story. So that's what I did. I came up with my title, came back with my ending, which we knew she's going to fly. And then I just filled in the middle.
Very cute. I love that. So tell me, did you try to get a traditional publisher or did you go independently?
Well, with my novel, I try to go traditionally. And in my search for a publisher is when I met Terry Berger of Sensational Publishing. And she helped me with the basics, you know, helped me find an illustrator, helped me find all this. And then I backstabbed her, and I didn't mean to, but yet I went with Book Trail.
Oh.
But I do apologize, and she knows. So she's gotten my second book, and so what I've decided to do is Sensational Publishing is going to be my publishing company, but I'm going to go through Book Trail for all my marketing, like talking to you and other hosts, you know. So that's the game plan.
You've had a really good sense of what it's like to work with a publishing house. I think you said to me you had the feeling of being on a team.
Yes. What I like about the vanity printing is I'm the author. I wrote the story. Now I put my team together, my illustrator, my editor, and my publisher. And they go to work, and I'm the project manager. I make sure if they send me a picture I don't like, I'll make my changes. Say, can you do it this way? The editing, Amy Shook, I have no issues with her. She's got so many degrees behind her name, but it's nice because she's very inexpensive and she does a great job. And then Ishkia, who is my illustrator, it was funny with Teeny Weenie. She's never seen a Florida coast, so I literally had to constantly say, no, Stan needs to be golden. You know, I had to constantly go back This needs to be, but that's the collaboration. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
I'm the client, but she does a great job.
That's awesome. So I gather doing this process and writing the books after having a team that helped you get it all together actually has turned out to be a way of what I would call rebuilding your life, because after the heart attack and giving up, you know, not being able to go back to work again, you know, you did what I had to do after we had our landslide, which is to pick up the pieces and start rebuilding your life again. Is that a fair estimate of what you've been through?
That is the one reason why I wanted to come on your show, because the title of your show. Yes, that's rebuilding my life. Yes, that I did. I recreated myself. Yes, I did. And even though I'm still limited to what I can do physically, hey, guess what? I can write books. And then if they become famous, that's great. If not, I'm still getting it out of me. Still writing my books. I have two published, one working on, and two that are still in concept. So, I mean, I don't know when I'm going to hit my novel again. So right now I got three books I'm going to be focusing on.
And it's a joy, right? It gives you a spirit. It's a wonderful thing to have something like that.
Well, I have a handicapped child. His name is Ethan. He's 27 now. But mentally, you know, he's younger. But what I love best about my books, my son loves to read them because the illustrations are so bright, are so, you know, big. And he just likes to look at them. And there's this one page where Gobby's waving, and he loves to sit on that page. It's the same one that's on the cover. He just sits there and looks at that page, just smiles at Gobby. So, hey, makes him happy.
Makes you happy, too. You know, it's funny because I was going to ask you a question about how did your family respond to you switching to writing your books and into all these new activities. I gather your daughter said, Dad, why not? You told us stories for years. Your son obviously loves what you're doing. Any other feedback from the family?
Well, you got to understand something. With my regular family, everybody just like, okay, Jim had a heart attack. It's a hobby. You know, that's how it is. I'm divorced. So this was after my divorce that I had a conversation with my son. And the exact wording of my daughter was, "Dad, you used to tell us stories for hours." And I was like, "But were they good?" She goes, "I don't know. I always fell asleep on you." I said, "That was the purpose." And
where did you grow up?
Right outside of Philadelphia, a place called Levittown. Now, we're right there on the border of the Delaware River. So Trenton and Hamilton is right across the bridge, like a 20-minute ride. And my grandparents lived in Hamilton. So when I was 16 years old and thought I knew everything in life, I quit high school and went and got a job. That lasted 2 weeks, and the following year I went back to high school. And so I went to live with my grandparents, and that was a great experience for me. And I graduated from Hamilton High School, Steinert, and just good memories from high school, Navy career, you know, then finance, mostly finance. You know, I worked as an F&I manager for a car lot. I was a VP for a product called, oh my God, my brain just went dead. All right, ask me another question.
Well, you have, so you're not in Philadelphia any longer, are you? Are you in the
region
anymore?
I moved to Tennessee and found out I was a country boy moving from the city, and I lived in Tennessee for 10 years, and then I got my divorce and had my heart attack. So that's when 2019 I started. I didn't start to 2020, like the beginning of 2020, when I was so mad at myself for being broken that I couldn't do nothing. I mean, I couldn't pick up a gallon of milk right after my heart attack.
Oh, wow. That's strange.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm a miracle. I'm a miracle walking. So I know God has a purpose for me. I need to find out what that purpose is. In the meantime, I'm going to serve and hopefully pass on moral books that children can learn to overcome their fear, to be more determination. You don't care what people think about them. They got to know who they are on the inside. That's what my books are about. Basic,
you know,
core.
It sounds to me as if you have found your purpose. What makes you think that God is a different one?
Well, good question. Good question. And it's funny you should bring that up, because I just thought that the other day. If God wanted me to do my novel, it would come to me. My novel doesn't come to me. I could sit down and write three sentences of my novel all of a sudden and go, "Oh my God, if I took this," you know, and that's what happens. So that's kind of what happened with Gobby. I was working on the Goblin scene at the time. I was thinking about putting the book together. So, yeah, you're right. This might be this is a passion that I didn't know I had. And you might be right. But still, I feel in the back of my mind, one day that novel's going to come out.
Okay.
One day.
Novel will be, is it anything like children's books?
No, it's more like Tolkien, Lord of the Rings type style.
Oh, okay. That's probably why it's taking so long. Weaving a Tolkien kind of novel is, with all the detail that in creating a new world, takes a lot of work.
It does. I have 5 books already in my head for it, though, the concepts anyway. First one I have the beginning, ending, and a lot filled in the middle. But I'm just in the dead center. I just can't get through the dead center. So we'll see. I might have to work backwards. We'll see.
Well, you know, since that's the way you work anyway, you know who your characters are, at least some of them. Yeah. Who's going to be at the end? And what's the great accomplishment? That's the answer. Then you can write it overnight.
You're probably right. The funny part is the two main characters, or the three main characters, are me when I was younger and my two best friends at the time, Eric and Molly. So having the personalities for my main characters isn't the problem. You nailed it on the head. It's creating the world itself. Where does everybody go? What kind of world is it? And you're right. My world, the elves are the superior race on the planet. So, you know.
Are you an elf?
Am I an elf? Oh, I'm a warlord.
Oh, you're a warlord.
I'm a warlord. I'm a warlord. Oh, no. In the book, I'm Prince his elven name is Ziltan, but they had to hide him as a baby. So the humans butchered his name, and he ended up being called Zoltan. Okay? And it's a long story. I'm not going to get into it on this program. We need about 3 hours. But you're right. The stuff I'm writing now, I'm putting in stuff from book 3 to make sure it all lines up. I've got stuff from book 2 to make sure it all lines up. I really am done with this first book if I can just get these last two chapters done. But it hasn't happened. I haven't gotten that.
Well, the muse has not spoken.
Yeah, and you know what? Because of the way I am with my children and everything, I've always been more spontaneous. Like, I have to feel it. It has to flow through me. But I can, off the top of my head, always come up with something quickly. Not the best, but quickly. And my family find that very interesting, that I'm very quick-witted. I guess that would be the word.
Yeah. So. Are you like that in conversation, too?
I don't know. You have to tell me.
I meant with them. You know, have they rolled their eyes, you know, and said, "Dad?"
Oh, my children? Oh, my God. There was one night, I'll never forget this. I was doing The Golden Woods. That's the name of the book. So I was acting out like the first half. I guess I was acting it out for about an hour and a half. And my son goes, "Dad, we want to go to sleep." wait, I got one more chapter I can tell you. Dad, let us sleep. My son is my biggest supporter, but he's like me. He's brutally honest, and he'll just tell you point blank. You know, like, oh, okay. My daughter, she's got more of my humor, and she still point blank will tell me, but she kind of puts a little spin on it, you know, just to make it a little bit, you know, as she finds it.
I love it. Our children are, you know, they are our honesty coming back at us.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
We can't hide from them. They've seen us since they were born.
No. And the funny thing is, like, I wish my son had more of me in him as far as ambition. Mm-hmm. But my daughter has that. But my daughter's so funny. My daughter's me, female version of me. And my ex tells me all that all the time. She goes, "Your daughter is you." Okay, let me talk to her. So now what I'd like to do, I just got done talking to my marketing people, and we're looking like we're going to set up me a couple podcasts, which is very great.
Wonderful.
And you started it all, Susan. You started the trail. You gave me some advice when we talked privately, and I'm taking all that advice, and I'm running. Like, I'm going for the goal.
That's great. That's great, because it's, you know, it's so valuable to you to be able to take it and run with it instead of waiting passively for someone else to do it for you. And you feel so much better about it, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I was like that even when I was healthy. By the time I asked somebody to take out the trash, I could do it myself. You know, I have never had a fear of rolling up my sleeves and working. Same thing with the book. Like, sometimes, I'll give you an example, like Teeny Weeny. Teeny Weeny is basically done. I had it on paper. And I had just met my new girlfriend, who is now my fiance. And we were, like, spending a lot of time together. So finally, she said to me, "Are you ever going to finish this book?" And I said, "Eventually." And she says, "Well, you can't talk to me until you do." I had it done by the next day.
Well, that's a sign that she's important to you.
Yeah, well, the book is really, really done. I just had to, you know, go over it and fine tune, you know. That's all.
And then you had motivation. Then you had the motivation to do it. So that's great.
Well, I'm really excited about writing Chow Chow because I was a Boy Scout leader for 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I did the first year scoutings. So my Chow Chow book with scouting is like I had my first years. They had to learn fire building, tent building, identify plants and animals, and outdoor cooking. So I thought that's perfect for a kid's book, simple. And then Chow Chow is going to be the good scout. You're going to have one bad scout who's always picking on people. You're going to have the one scout who's new and doesn't able to do as much. Well, Chow Chow helps him. And at the end, when they're all ready to get their patches and Miss Sarah tells them, you know, it basically tells a character each. And at the end, of course, Chow Chow wins the Pup-tacular Award.
Very good. Very good. Where are your books available, Jim?
On Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and Teeny Weenies exclusively at Walmart.com.
Oh, really? Now, did your publisher arrange that, or did you have connections to Walmart?
No, my publisher sets me up online. And at that point, it's up to me to get a marketing company to help me promote my book.
Oh, really? Oh, how very interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But that's good because I know nothing. Nothing. See, this is the difference. I'm an intelligent individual, but I know nothing. When I wrote my first book, oh, my God, my anxiety was through the roof. Now I understand the process. But I had a point and totally lost to Susan, so next question.
So how do you promote your books? I know you do. You're doing this interview, and you're going to do more of these from what we just said?
Yeah, what I'm going to do, more podcasts, and then I'm going to go get about 25 books, and I'm going to go around to the local elementary schools, and I'm going to see if I can present myself and do a book reading and see if that helps.
Oh, marvelous. Good, good. That is what we talked about. Yeah. So, now, are you going to do any more advertising?
Yes. That's going to be with Book Trail.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be the podcast right now. That's what we're starting with, you, and then I got 5 more to do. So
Excellent. That's
the start.
Okay. That is a start, and it's a wonderful thing to do. I'm glad you're being proactive about it.
Well, you gave me great advice. I ran with it.
Good for you. Good for you. Not everybody does, you know, and so it shows real. Well, you understand marketing. You've done marketing, and so you know. So you have an understanding of what it takes, and what you can do from home.
Right.
Where
correct.
You are now. Right. And
correct.
So that makes it. You know, it gives you some parameters about what you can and can't do, what you want to do. So I think that'll work beautifully for you. Now, you say you have
how many
books? You have like 4 or 5 books in the wings, aside from the novels. You have
a number of other children's
books.
Yeah, in my brain are the following. Okay, we got Gabby out. We got Teeny Weeny out. We got Chow Chow. We're going to do, after Chow Chow is going to be... Fish could fly if they know how. And that's just too detailed to explain off the top of my head. And then
I like that title.
And then I have my rooster and my turkey who grew up together.
Mm-hmm.
And we were out there and they're just doing some things. I thought that would be a nice concept. So I wrote it. It's called Who Am I? So I don't know yet exactly what I'm doing. So it's too far out right now. But yeah, I'm always doing that. Every time I see something, that'd be cute for a kid's book. But I never thought that way before. And now everything can be made into a kid's book.
I love that.
Right.
Wonderful.
But I want stuff that is moral, not necessarily biblical, but moral. I'd like everybody to have the patriotism of 1940. That's all. Is that asking for too much?
Yeah. Well, I will comment on that. That's a good question. I think there are a lot of people who would agree with you, and then there's going to be some who would disagree with you. So it's just, it's a strange time to be trying to figure anything out. But any last thoughts
correct.
you'd like to share with your audience about what you're doing and what, you know, what you're hoping to accomplish?
Well, I'm hoping to get some book sales because I do take 10% and give it to charity. And my goal is to, this is going to sound weird, is to find myself. And I'm not there yet, but the books are getting me there.
I love that. That is a, you know, you are speaking and finding yourself through the books you write. I'm telling you,
correct.
God's talking to you. Every time you write a book, he's telling you another story.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Jim, for sharing your stories. You know, for our listeners, we have been speaking with James Windisch about his two children's books currently, Gobby the Friendly Goblin, Who Saves the Day, and Teeny Weenie the Baby Seagull Who Could Not Fly. They're available in hardback and paperback on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, and Teeny Weenie is available exclusively at Walmart. So as we bring this in, .com. Oh, the internet versions. Okay, the website. Okay. As we bring this in for a landing, thank you for listening. And remember, if you have a dream you've always wanted to bring to reality, you can do it. In fact, the perfect time may be when you're faced with some adversity, just like Jim. Want help? Email me at susan@susanshirako.com, and we can set up a discovery call to start exploring your dream right now. So thank you again, Jim.
Thank you, Susan. It's been a pleasure being on your show.
And it has been a pleasure having you. I want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving, although by the time we hear this, it will be past. Bye for now, and have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.